evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Wednesday, March 13, 2024. The government of Central Equatorial State cracks down on petrol stations across Juba Town.
The government and the state government, city council, thought of suspending their selected petrol stations where they are not actually coping with the requirements.
And some internal displaced persons in Upper Nile State call for help.
What we need now is to leave, but we do not have the logistical support. We call for a non-profit to return us home, especially Baliet and PG counties.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Over 15,000 internal displaced persons in Melut County on Upper Nile State say they were told by host communities in the county to return to their original homes. The IDP camp in Melut was open for communities affected by the 2013 conflict in PG and Baliet County, and they fled to Upper Nile State. The IDP say they want to return to their homes in Jonglei State's PG County and Upper Nile's Baliet County. For VOA News, Abraham Mamer Court reports from Malakal.
Internally displaced persons at Melut IDP camp are calling for an urgent relocation to their home counties. Yae Moinwaid Noi, chairperson of the camp, says they fell out with the host communities in Melut County after five boys from the camp allegedly killed a boy from one of the host communities on February 8, 2024. Noy says some criminals living in the IDP camp have tainted relations between the IDPs and the host community.
We have some children we call criminals who cause trouble. They beat to death a boy from the host community and threw him into the river on 8 February 2024. These children were caught by their parents and they were arrested. The community in Melut County said we should give a concern so that these children will be killed. We said we will not do that because it is the government that will allow them to be killed. If the government rules that the children will be killed, they will die and nobody will question it. But we cannot say that we shall kill them ourselves.
Noy says after the IDPs refused to sign the document, they were asked to leave. The IDPs want some help to return to PG County in Jonglei State. Noy says they are appealing to nonprofits for support.
What we need now is to leave, but we do not have the logistical support. We call for a non-profit to return us home, especially Baliet and PG counties.
53-year-old Zechariah Mwinwut-Chol, a father of five and a tribal chief, says some members of the host community are harassing IDPs.
They say nobody should go fishing, no woman should go and collect firewood, and no woman should go to get vegetables on the riverbank, like women got vegetables to sell before or to collect firewood to sell. They are just saying in the camp, life is very hard now. We are alive because human life cannot be lost easily.
Daniel Denkir, the RRC deputy chairperson in PG County, says aid agencies have not been supporting IDPs in Melut since last year.
The situation where they are, it is not supporting them right now. The services which have been given to them are now cut off. Support from organization cannot continue. They have right to support you within 3 months or 6 months. When it is go beyond like that, then they cannot continue to give. And they are saying that you are the source of the needs. They take off some of the support.
Here says floods have subsided and the Jonglei State government is ready to receive the IDPs.
They should be able to come back to their home, and the government in the county, they are ready to receive these people. Due to the logistic pipeline, we could not able to catch up very soon because it needs the support from our partners. The security is there. We have dealing with our neighbors, like people of Akoba, of Viral County, which are our neighbors, and they came with a youth and conduct. We have peace among one another. And then people move to those areas. So there is a hope that we can come back and then we stay together as brothers.
On January 25th, the IDPs in Melut wrote a letter to the PG County RRC office asking for permission and support to relocate back to the estate. The letter cited a lack of humanitarian assistance, land to cultivate, poor health facilities, and alleged spread of some diseases as reasons to leave the camp. Baresh Lwal, the commissioner of Melut County, could not be reached for comment. Some IDPs who spoke off the record say they paid for their transport to Malakal. For VOA News, I am Amer Abraham Kuat in Malakal.
Some residents of the South Sudan's capital, Juba, say they are worried about the increasing number of petrol stations operating in residential areas. The Juba City Council says individual investors in the fuel business have been ignoring requirements for opening petrol stations across the capital. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
35-year-old Kamisa Michael operates a tea business in front of her home, located only about 20 meters from a petrol station. Michael says because of her business close proximity to the gas station, she constantly worries about her family's safety.
This is completely wrong. We have talked a lot, but no one is listening. Everyone is working for money, and money is playing its role. But for sure, a petrol station like this cannot be allowed to operate within residential areas, because if there is fire break, it will not be limited to the owners of the petrol station, but will affect everyone in the area. You see a petrol station here, and there is another one there, just within this small space.
Susan Aligo, a resident of Juba's Nyakron suburb, says she and other neighbors recently witnessed a terrifying incident when a fuel tanker trying to offload at a petrol station caught fire.
We ran and ran to escape fire. The government needs to look into this and try to take this petrol station away from residential areas.
Juba City Mayor Flora Gabriel Modi says petroleum companies operating in the city are guided by safety requirements and says the council is considering closing down stations that are operating illegally.
It's dangerous for our citizens in Juba. We have seen there's a lot of petrol stations within the residential areas, and the government and the state government, city council, thought of suspending their selected petrol stations where they are not actually coping with the requirements of the area, because you cannot put a petrol station near a residential area. If anything happens, it will make a disaster. There are some petrol stations who are given license without the right procedures.
Juba resident Abraham Apes says it is clear that more petrol stations are operating in residential areas across South Sudan's capital, which he says poses a danger to people in the city.
Like the petrol station, we heard about it yesterday, that is got banned. If it had happened within the city here, this would have affected many people. This petrol station need to be reduced and not built so close to each other. Now, the petrol station have become too many, like jobs, and that is not good.
Mawa Moses, a member of a Central Equatorial State Committee tasked to screen petrol station in the city of Juba, says in response to the outcry, Central Equatorial State Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony has ordered a crackdown on stations within residential areas.
So far this morning we have closed 15 petrol stations, and we are going to do more. We will review the previous recommendations, and we will make sure that if there are still other petrol stations that are also confirmed that they are dangerous to the lives of people, we will close. We want to advise all those that their petrol stations have been closed not to open them, because if they open, there will be measures that will be taken.
On Sunday night, a fuel tanker caught fire and exploded in Juba's Gumbo suburb, prompting the Juba City Council to launch an investigation. In 2016, at least six people were killed and nine others wounded after a fuel tanker veered off the road and exploded in the Gumbo residential area. In 2015, more than 200 people were killed following a fuel tanker explosion in Maridi County of Western Equatoria State. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
International Women's Day on March 8 marked a global celebration, and we continue to provide coverage of the achievements of women throughout the month, which in many countries is known as Women's History Month. Recently, in Mundri East County of Western Equatoria State, thousands gathered to mark International Women's Day, as Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
Christine City, chairperson of the women's group in Mundri East County, highlighted the challenges women face in South Sudan, particularly those related to security and livelihoods.
As women, we are having security, but it is not enough because we often visit our farms in remote areas. In South Sudan, 40% of women are widows and 20% are orphans. We call for an end to discrimination among women because a mother is a mother.
Siti was speaking at an event with South Sudanese women, representatives from the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, and other humanitarian organizations. They were marking this year's International Women's Day under the theme Accelerate Gender Equality Through Inclusion and Access to Productive Resources for Women. Aya Benjamin Wagile, South Sudan's Minister of Gender, underscored the importance of empowering girls and women to achieve equality.
The International
Anita Kikigbeo, Deputy Special Representative of the United Nations Secretary General in South Sudan, reaffirmed the UN's commitment to promoting women's involvement in South Sudan's affairs.
Women's participation in peace processes offers a greater chance for sustainable peace. We therefore urge South Sudan to uphold women's inclusion in the upcoming constitution-making process, as articulated in the South Sudanese Women's Charter, and also allow for women's safe and meaningful participation in the upcoming electoral processes. We call on South Sudan to champion the inclusion of women in civic and political spaces as provided for in the revitalized agreement. Legislative measures also called for in the revitalized agreement should be enacted to ensure minimum representation of 35% of women in key institutions and political processes.
The audio in this report was provided by the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. In Washington, I'm Nabil Biagio.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the former Secretary General of the East African Community faces investigations. Find out why after the break.
Hey,
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Our words of wisdom for today comes from Mundri County in Western Equatorial State.
Hello, my name is called Elinaya Felemon Meeting from South Sudan, Morocco community. Just have a proverb to African proverb to the younger youths who are living out there. It's saying in our language that Tuku Ibo, Editutu Kore, Izumbaku Kunya Kunya Likure, Ngurukolo Mura Makonyo, like Izimako Sala, Edi Kararom, Lakin Mu Iride, Sala Idile Kua Muderinku, Renuride. So that's when it's simple, saying that whenever you select a dream, whenever you choose what you wanted to do, you don't need to surrender, even if there is many obstacles.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. The East African Legislative Assembly has launched an investigation into corruption and mismanagement of funds that involves the East African Community Secretary General, Peter Matuki. This comes after the Regional Assembly recalled him last week after accusing him of mismanagement. Moses Javierimana reports from Nairobi.
The East African Legislative Assembly on Tuesday authorized the probe against the Secretary General of the East African Community, Peter Matuki, after accusing him of misappropriating $6 million worth of peace funds and other corrupt practices. The Regional Assembly Speaker Joseph Nakirutimana ordered the committee to complete investigations not later than April.
The committee to utilize its powers under the treaty and the rules to conduct credible investigations and report at the next plenary.
The Secretary General Peter Matuki took office in 2021 for a five-year term. But last week, after the accusations, Kenya's President William Ruto recalled him and nominated Matuki to be Kenya's ambassador to Russia pending the National Parliament's approval. Dennis Namara is a regional lawmaker from Uganda and the chairman of the committee in charge of appropriating funds within the East African community.
We are coming for all of them. They should get ready. We cannot allow any cent of the community to be misappropriated. Our people are suffering with coming up with these budgets. We shall take it to the president of Kenya, where he comes from, for the agencies within Kenya to handle him according to the national laws.
When contacted, the East African Community Secretary General in a written statement denied the allegations against him. He says that at no point did the Council of Ministers question him about appropriation of funds. Shahbal Suleiman is a regional lawmaker from Kenya.
I see no point to hang a man who's already been crucified. This matter was brought to the attention of His Excellency the President of the Republic of Kenya, and he acted immediately and decisively. And for you Christians, I refer you to what Jesus Christ said, "Let he who has not sinned cast the first stone."
The East African Legislative Assembly said that the auditors will investigate and the perpetrators will be prosecuted. James Kakoza is a lawmaker from Uganda.
And that's why we are going to task the auditors to bring a forensic audit to prosecute whoever has been involved in this corruption.
The probe is now underway and the East African heads of state are expected to conduct an extraordinary summit to appoint and swear in a new Secretary General from Kenya to serve the remaining 2 years. Moses Aviarimana, VOA Africa, Nairobi.
Haiti Prime Minister Ariel Henry announced his resignation Tuesday, the day after the United States pledged another $100 million to a United Nations-backed multinational security force intended to assist Haitian police in combating gangs, along with $33 million in humanitarian aid. VOA State Department Bureau Chief Nike Cheng reports.
A political crisis and rising violence have created an untenable situation for the Haitian people. Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry has agreed to step down after a transitional authority is established that will govern the violence-plagued nation until new elections are held. The United States is urging him to expedite this transition. Amid the ongoing crisis that threatens Haiti's stability, the U.S. on Monday increased its commitment for the Caribbean country's security and humanitarian support. Antony Blinken is the U.S. Secretary of State.
The United States Department of Defense is doubling its approved support for the mission from $100 million to $200 million. And that brings the total U.S. support to $300 million for this effort. I'm also announcing additional humanitarian assistance for the people of Haiti, $33 million to further support their health and food security.
At the United Nations, diplomats hope the deployment of the UN-endorsed multinational security support mission to Haiti will help the country stop the violence. Some analysts believe the mission can create the security conditions necessary for upcoming elections. George Furio is a senior advisor at the United States Institute of Peace. He spoke to VOA via Zoom.
Some of it is financial support to actually support this mission. The United States Southern Command is already on record as indicating that they are in process of providing planning assistance, information sharing, and intelligence relating to the situation on the ground in Haiti.
Others are skeptical of foreign forces pouring into Haiti. Ana Rosa Quintana Lovett is a senior policy director for the Vandenberg Coalition think tank in Washington. She spoke to VOA via Zoom.
You've seen members of Haitian civil society who've come to testify before Congress that have said, we don't want additional forces in our country because forces have come in here, they've raped our women, they've spread disease, they've, you know, collaborated with criminal elements.
The Caribbean community said the Transitional Council for Haiti would consist of seven members representing political coalitions and the private sector, plus two non-voting civil society members. This council will appoint a new prime minister and initiate preparations for upcoming presidential elections. Nike Ching, VOA News, Washington.
From Washington, we move to Russia, where the Russian leader has relaunched its spy operations against the West since its 2022 invasion of Ukraine. That's according to analysts. Henry Ridgewell has more from London.
Russian helicopter pilot Maxim Kuzminov defected to Ukraine in August 2023. He moved to Spain and started a new life under a false identity. Last month, Kuzminov's bullet-riddled body was found in a parking lot in southern Spain. Russia has not admitted to the killing, but the director of Moscow's Foreign Intelligence Service described Kuzminov as a moral corpse for defecting. Analysts say the killing is the latest example of how Russia's intelligence operations have been reinvigorated since Europe kicked out hundreds of suspected Kremlin spies in the wake of Russia's 2022 full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Marina Miron is from the Department of War Studies at King's College London.
The Europeans had a sense of security that the Russian spies are not there anymore, that their capabilities have been significantly curtailed. But the problem is they have not been. they are mightier than ever.
Russian state media last month published an intercepted phone call between senior German Air Force officers discussing supplying long-range Taurus missiles to Ukraine. Kyiv has warned that a whole network of Russian spies is operating in Germany. French intelligence services are investigating a Russia-backed campaign aimed at interfering in the June European elections. France warned last month that Europe is under informational attack from Russia. Alexander Daniliuk is an associate fellow at Britain's Royal United Services Institute.
They still invest, you know, billions into intelligence operations in Europe, you know, developing that capabilities which are designed for interference into election, radicalization of different social, ethnical, religious groups, including minorities, investing billions into political proxies, you know, who can actually come to power.
Analysts say Moscow is increasingly operating remotely, using non-Russian proxies to carry out its operations, including organized criminals and foreign nationals from political and business circles. Trials of suspected spies working for Russia are ongoing in Britain, Germany, Norway, Poland, and several other countries. Again, analyst Alexander Daniliuk.
It's not any more ideological fight. It's not like communism fighting, you know, capitalism, like Soviets would say. No, it's not. But it's authoritarian countries, trying to subvert the West as a stronghold of democracy, freedom, and human rights. And this is, for them, existential fight.
Meanwhile, CIA Director William Burns wrote recently that disaffection with the war in Ukraine has in turn presented a once-in-a-generation opportunity for Western intelligence agencies to recruit Russian spies. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News, London.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday, March 13, 2024. We now leave you with the song Tutu Party by Emerson.
So there's a be wine, send you. If I watch, gonna yai, hey, if only I go fry. I dey watch like a bottom step and die. I see short skirts, hey, the mini skirts. Oh, who's one for dance with when his party goes that? I want salet, yeah, I want ballet. But you want macale, and they party back me a overload, not to your business. But in a party you come, let me make an overload. If the act you gonna do, oh, 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 yeah, yeah.
Been listening to Emerson and the song Tutu Party. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Jumbe Hamza, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Well, forgotten. Baba, do everything you say. Tell me if you really don't ready. They swing and they bounce it. No one say I ain't done to the party. You see me they jump, they swing cool and cruisy. No one say I ain't done to the party. You see.